Good morning. I'm a little chilly, as I bet everybody is this morning.
Yes, I did not want to get out of bed like everybody else today. There's nothing worse than that feeling where it's so warm and you know it's going to be so cold, but everybody getting on the bus today, make sure you've got your hat, gloves, and jackets on. It is cold, cold, cold.
It is.
Now, you guys, before we head to break coming up here in the next couple, I mean, it's 2 weeks from tomorrow. Let's be not. That's not true. It's 2 weeks from today because there's a built-in snow day on the 22nd.
Right.
So it is 2 weeks from today. So, but you guys have plenty of things left to get accomplished at the school board level before we get to the winter solstice and the winter break. Tell us all about it.
Well, on Tuesday, we're going to have a work session at 5:30. And the work session was devised, called, planned, so that we could talk with a demographer about the proposal to redraw the school board districts to make those more equal in terms of population in those districts. So we'll hear from that demographer. And then on the following Tuesday, on the 19th, will be our regular school board meeting, a regular session, and we'll be closing out the year with that just before break occurs.
Let's remind everybody as well, the demographer is going to help the redistricting of school board candidates, nothing else to do with anything else.
Exactly. Districts of attendance.
I just want to mention that every time so no one gets anything.
You should. You should. Because people get freaked out if they think it's about attendance districts.
And the demographer.
And it's school board seats.
School board seats, school board districting has nothing to do with where your student will or will not be attending class. The demographer is going to show you, present to you some ideas. Are you going to enact those ideas? What's the step in this process, how this all comes together? Obviously, they're going to have a presentation. You take from that presentation ideas to the committee, and then we'll go from there?
You know, that's a really good question. He's going to talk to us about what we need to know, maybe about population breakdown and the precincts and the populations there, and hopefully going forward then, we have people who are interested in serving on the committee, and the superintendent will appoint that committee, and those folks can start looking at how to draw those lines for the school board seats. Taking into consideration, do we want to draw it by voters, registered voters, or population? How do we include IU students without overwhelming one school board district with all the IU students? How is that divided up?
Yeah, it's a great point because we're talking about zoning and all that stuff that's trying to happen right now, and we want everybody to live downtown, but we're not sure who we want to live downtown or where. That's just how it goes. Is this something that what's the word I'm looking for? It can't be a predictor because we're not really sure what to predict.
Well, no, you're right, and I don't really think we're looking to predict. It's just the fact that these districts were drawn 23 years ago, or 26 years ago, I think. And so in that time, the population has really shifted. So
absolutely.
The school board district in which I live is twice as large as a couple of the other smaller districts. So we're not really looking to predict. We're looking to fix the population imbalance that we have right now in those districts.
And just like, Mike, when you talk about political districts being drawn.
Yes.
You know, and
then we have to talk about gerrymandering.
Well, exactly. And that's one of the things that should not come into play in any of this. It's, and as Sue just said, do you go by registered voters? Do you go by people who live in the district who maybe never registered to vote, don't vote at all? How do you do these districts? And there's no advantage to, because it's not a party vote. A school board member is not voted on as a Republican or a Democrat or an independent. So politics should not come into play in any of this. It's straight ahead. Draw the borders so that the representation per district is about equal.
And granted that every voter gets to vote for every school board candidate, but that's the population from which a candidate runs. So the feeling is the smaller the district, the harder it would be to find people to run. If we put more people in some of those small districts, we'll have more people available to run.
Well, and the other part of this that historically you need to point out is that when these districts were originally drawn, they were drawn according to precinct kinds of boundaries, and they've already overexpanded those so that you might have half of a precinct in one district and a quarter of a precinct in another district, and it's just all over hell and gone on how these districts are today versus what they started out to be.
Right, and it becomes confusing for people. So for sake of transparency, too, I think it's really helpful if we redraw this following precinct lines.
Now, well,
that would be something that everybody could absorb because it's nothing new. That's the
right, and it's right there on a map. You can look at a map and you can see all the precincts within all the townships, and then you can draw lines just following those precinct lines. And you can get, we can get the numbers of the population numbers and the voter registration numbers for each one of those precincts. So we can get the population info, and that's not hard. It's just then how do we draw the lines and how do we consider each district?
One of the other things that among the meetings, so the 12th, you have the work session where we're going to talk about this. And then you mentioned the 19th is the school board meeting, which is at 6 p.m. But on the 14th, 2 days after the 12th, you've got another table talk. And we had Tim on Pritchett on Tuesday talk a little bit about this because it has to do with technology. And listen to the title for this. This is Social Media, Sexting, and the Digital Age. So, you know, there's a lot of things out there that kids can get in trouble with and involved in, and sometimes parents need to know what's out there in order to protect their own kids.
Well, exactly. You know, kids know more than what we know. I mean, that's just reality. So this is a really good chance for parents and others to learn from our school technology people what they need to know, what their kids might know and what their kids might be doing, and how to be safer with that,
right.
And how to protect our kids with all the social media things.
We're talking with Sue Wanzer, who's a member of the MCCSC School Board. And one of the things that we need to talk about, because they did it yesterday up at the State House, so all those folks up there know more about education than anyone that actually does it. And they passed the Graduation Pathways Program, and the vote was, 7 to 4?
It was 7 to 4, and the four people who opposed this proposal were the four educators on the Board of Education, including Jennifer McCormick, the Superintendent of Public Instruction. And almost all of the testimony that was at the State House was in opposition, because a lot of questions haven't been answered in terms of how these different graduation requirements will be met, such as having to have an internship or having to have a work project or having to show that you're employable. There's a lot of things that just haven't been answered, and a lot of this came about from businesses and corporations saying, hey, your graduates aren't ready to work in my business. They're too college prepared, but they're not prepared to work. And so that sounds like a training issue maybe for those industries. Maybe, again, we have to talk about the purpose of high school. Is it to train people for certain jobs, or is it to educate people
both,
so they can become employable later on?
It has to be both, because not everybody takes to education. We've seen that for years. Everybody would be
exactly.
in A school. Everybody would have perfect test scores. There would be no reason to evaluate anybody. It's not
right.
hard to figure this out.
Well, these requirements that they passed yesterday go into effect in 2023. And I want to give you a quote, because this is from Dr. Byron Ernest, who is the chairman of the Graduation Pathways panel. He said the recommendations will provide students with Diploma Plus. So this is better than a diploma that, you know, and one of the things that's in there is you can do an internship, you can do vocational training, you can get an ACT or an SAT test score. So one of my questions would be, so if I pass the SAT or the ACT, do I need to pass the vocational part of this? You know, and the other thing, Sue, that people need to know about is we have special needs kids in our school system who get diplomas from our schools that will not do any of this kind of work. And so why is it a requirement for everybody? So I don't
know. Well, and I think that's the whole point too, Keith, is once again, the decision is being taken away from educators and those people who know what graduating from high school, what a diploma should mean, and how to get either the training or the education people need. We offer all of that in our school corporation, but it's also taking away the local control from a school corporation as to how they want to educate their kids. And again, I'll go back to the same thing. There's a whole lot of questions that haven't been answered yet. It was passed, And it goes into effect with graduates in 2023, but I think by next year, we have to have our plans in place. So what it does, again, is it overworks teachers and administrators. It's one more stress, one more requirement without any additional funding. So I think there has to be a lot of conversations up at the State House about how this is really going to work.
Well, and the State Superintendent of Public Instruction even was commenting on the fact that...
Not after the meeting, she wasn't. She did not comment after the meeting. I'm just reading
that. No, but
that's
talking about during.
Well, how does she not comment after this meeting? If she's leading this, how do you leave this meeting and not say anything? That's a terrible job.
Well, I think she said some stuff during the meeting because I did also read a quote that we're going to have to look at the implementation of this. So right. I'm not sure how that's going to happen.
The committee's really honest, final recommendations were approved 7-4, reports the Indianapolis Star, with board members Marianne McMahon, Carl Wicker, Steve Yeager, and State Superintendent Jennifer McCormick voting no. McCormick did not make herself available for comment after the vote. I mean, that's not leadership, Sue. I don't care what you... If this is such a big deal, how does she go run and hide after that meeting? That's a bad job.
I don't know.
Yeah,
to really be honest.
So... it's such a big deal. Let's get fired up about it. And the leader of it just doesn't want to talk afterwards. I guess she was so disappointed she just had to go and go home. That's tough to get support. That's tough to get people rounded up about. But this moving forward, the end of this story goes on to say, and I don't know, again, this is if all the facts are correct here, the graduation pathways plan would require students to complete at least one option from each of the following three buckets. Now we have buckets involved. High school diploma, show employable skills, or show post-secondary readiness. So that's kind of the simple nuts and bolts of it on that.
Right. And one of the questions about the post-secondary readiness is having an SAT or ACT test score. That it has to be high enough. It can't just be a test score. It has to be high enough. But then the question came up, okay, if that's a requirement, who's going to pay for that? Does the kid have to pay for that? Or
do you have to take the test multiple times? How does that work? Who pays for
exactly?
Right.
Exactly.
And that's a very fair question, because if you want testing, that's one thing. If you, but just show me the money, and that's how it works.
Right.
So then it goes back to the question, is that money being used to test somebody 400 times more important than it is educating somebody 400 times? Well, that's a question for the state superintendent and everybody else involved with this. What are the priorities? Is testing important, or is educating important? I think both are to some degree. You have to see if the education took place. But
while you're riled up, let me give you another one. The state legislature is also going to consider a calendar program for all schools in the state that would preclude any schools starting before a specific date. They're talking about the last week of August. And, Sue, you have some feelings about that one.
Well, let's get one thing out of the way first. 180 days is 180 days is 180 days.
Right.
If you take 30 of those days in June, those are part of the 180 days. It doesn't say it has to take place in a season, or it has to have 90% completed by the Why can't each school corporation decide that?
Bingo.
Well, that's what we've been
local
doing.
Local control.
And that's what we would like to continue doing. But the the state assembly is being pressured by the amusement park lobbyists to start school later, because there's a lot of tourist industry that doesn't they lose their student help when they have to go back to high school, or they have to go back to college, and they want to make sure that they have people around. This isn't anything new. This has been happening for a while. The state of Michigan does this, does the same thing. They can't start school until after Labor Day. So, we're doing the same number of days, but if you start later, you end later.
I've got a great idea. Let's just do 160 days. Everybody gets out of school May 1st and goes back after Labor Day, and then we just have 20 less days of school. What's the big deal there?
Well, see,
we can't teach that quickly. We can't get everybody learning that fast. We can't get them. Everything else is instant gratification in this world. Everything else is fast food. Everything else is drive-thru.
What do we leave out of the education program in order to do that?
Yeah, you cut something out because vacations, we got to get the vacations in. So let's shrink the days down.
That's the whole point. What's more important, teaching and learning or being on vacation? So,
profit. You don't leave profit out. Profit's a big driver in all this as well.
Well, exactly, and that's who's lobbying the state legislature. So the Indiana School Boards Association, you know, has said, let's get out of in front of this ahead of time. It's one more thing, you know, eroding local control, and our community likes to make their decisions about our schools on our own without somebody else telling us. So I had a quick email with our superintendent this morning, and we'll either talk about this on Tuesday at the work session or the following Tuesday with a resolution to the state opposing the loss of local
it's
control.
It's time for a sternly written letter.
Yeah, that'll help.
Well, that's what it's all you can do.
I know. Well, what you need to do is you need to get
You need some good old-fashioned fist shaking, and then you need a sternly written letter because that's what gets the greasy
well,
wheel.
No,
gets
what,
quick,
no, you need a fistful of money,
you.
It appears.
Oh, well, there's
that's
the
it.
Truth.
I know. I wish I had the money to say to somebody, I'm pulling my thousands of dollars donations if you don't vote a certain way.
You make it a 160-day school year, that takes out August right there. Boom. See you on September 5th.
Right. I want to throw something at you. I don't know if you're aware of this. There are year-round schools. Have you heard of those?
I've heard of them,
okay,
yeah.
They do with 180 days, but they break it up, and they do go. They actually go to school in July and August, and they break up. They still only do 180 days, but now what about schools that have that kind of a calendar?
Hey.
Well, and that doesn't.
You can do
yeah,
any
and
calendar
really...
you want. Just change the days.
Right.
Just take it from 180 to 160. So all those 20 Fridays where you don't do a whole lot in school and drink juice boxes, well,
yeah,
now you got
to use
them.
Those students would be in school during July, which is part of that vacation stuff.
I'm not worried about those. Yeah. Local control, just give me the days. Give me how many days you want. And if you take 20 days off the calendar, that's four five-day weeks. That's a month. And there you go. What's so hard about that?
That's a really good point because it's the state legislature that determined that it was 180 days.
So you can't have
now,
it both
sure.
ways.
I'm not sure how they figured 180 was adequate. Obviously, they did it with summer vacations in mind because we've gone to school that way forever and ever and ever, where we've had summers off and then you go back to school.
Well,
because
we had summers off so everybody could work in the fields, right? And we had daylight savings.
Exactly.
Time.
Summers off because there wasn't air conditioning in the schools.
There you go. That's another problem with it. So, we'll figure it out someday, Sue. I'm not sure if it's going to be today, but we're gonna try like hell. Thank you for your time, as always. Give me your calendar for next week, just so everybody's on the same page. Special session is
the 12th.
The 12th
is the 12th.
Table talks the 14th.
Okay.
And 19th is the school board meeting.
6 o'clock.
5:30, 5:30, 6 o'clock.
Right.
Well, luckily Keith will be here next week on Tuesday to remind us. You'll be here next Thursday to remind us, so we'll get it covered. Thank you for your time, as always.
Okie dokie. No problem. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Sue Wanzer and Keith Klein both serve on the MCCSE school board.